sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Episode 102, Kings from Queens. From Queens comes King. Kings from Queens, from Queens comes Kings. We're raising hell like a class when the lunch bell rings. The king will be praised and hell will be raised. Suckers. Try to phase him, but B won't be phased. So what's your name, DMC? The king is me. Your hotness or his majesty. Now, you can debate, you can concentrate, but you can't imitate DMC the great. Dissing all devil causing havoc in hell. At a very high level, bass and treble shall yell. Did I say that right? At a very high level, bass and treble shall yell. Okay, the flow's fucked up. Heard in the heavens are the sounds supreme. So clear to the ear is sometimes seen. Wait, what? So clear to the ear, it is sometimes seen. Okay, well, that rhymes. So loud like a cloud with thunder and lightning. So proud to the crowd, it is somewhat frightening. No calm in the storm like a beast unleashed. There's no stopping because the rocking cannot cease to break. Kick it! Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. B Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Yay! Thank you. All right, let me get this thing out the way. All right. Sorry, I got shit on my screen here. Okay, now, before I start the show, I got to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 13. Two days. After hip-hop's birthday. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, guess what? Fuck you too. All right. Okay, hold on. Before I do this, I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but that's my little L filter. Because Whitey is fucking with the air. Okay, all right, let's get this show started. A little bit of technical difficulty. Oh, right, okay, so for you returning listeners, I replaced my little Bluetooth device. You know what, this is not part of the, well, whatever, okay. I replaced my little, I used to use a Bluetooth device to output the sound from my computer into my board. Now, I just discovered, instead of buying a new Bluetooth device, what I did is reused an old little mini PC I had lying around that it wasn't doing anything. Long story short, It was meant to be my, you know, I don't need to go into detail, but long story short, I found this little PC device and I'm using it now to output the sound of from the computer. The reason why I'm not using my PC is because when I plug in the output of my computer, there's a lot of noise. It's fucking noisy. I haven't been able to figure it out. I'm sure it's a simple solution, but I ain't got that kind of time. That's not why you came to listen to. But all this to say is that I found a little convenient solution, and it's working out perfectly. And it's, oh, wow, easy. It's working out well. It's working out well. Okay. All right. So for new listeners, this podcast is broken down into three segments, three acts, if you will. The first one is the introduction, which is what you're in right now, followed by the news and random thoughts, and then finally, final thoughts. And in the intro, I just like to, you know, kick it, try to get to know the audience, and not really. I'm just breaking the ice. I start with things that happened this week, memorable dates. If I was a comedian, this was a comedy show, I'd be like, any birthdays today? We don't do that. So, but I do notice dates. So first one I will bring up is RIP Bernie Mac. Comedian Bernie Mac. We lost him on August 9th, 2008. But we still remember you, Brother Mac. Second, very important, and probably the overall theme of overall theme of today's episode is happy birthday, hip hop. My final thoughts will be all around that hip-hop. Hip-hop was August 11th, 1973. I had no idea. And I discovered hip-hop, I'm going to say, I can't tell if it was 7 or 11, but I'm going to go with 11, right? And that's like in 90, I'm doing the math in my head here, 86. It must have been 86 because I was 11 in 86. And and my life changed ever since. And last but not least, those are two dates. I think, what was it? Something about Marcus Garvey. Hold on. I think there's Marcus Garvey, I believe, because I remember I was supposed to add that. What? I spelled Marcus Garvey. Oh, my God. I just lost my black license. How the fuck do you not know how to spell? Okay, there we go. August 17, 1887. He was born in August 17. What are we? The 13th? Oh, man, I should have saved that for next week. All right, yeah, anyways, for next episode. But August, well, not, you know. Marcus Garvey's birthday is on August 17. All right, but that's not what we're getting at. Okay, now, before we jump to news and random thoughts, I'm going to... some quotes that I found, some words of wisdom. You know, it's a hit or miss, you know. I should reread this shit before reading it on the air, but here I am. Fuck it. Deal with it. We're going to discover this. Oh, right. Okay, it's called 7 Places You Must Stay Silent by Psychology Papers, Psy Papers, that I follow on Twitter. And the reason I'm sharing this is because it the overall, for the theme song, when I was writing up the theme song, the lyrics actually relates to exactly what I was thinking. Like times, important times where you should shut the fuck up. If you, I don't know if you can hear the lyrics well, but it's pretty much every time I say, you know, if you're not shut up, if you're not shut up, blah 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 blah, shut the fuck up. This is my times where it helps to shut up, and. This is one of those, hey, great minds think alike kind of situations. So, according to Psychology Paper, resilience. 7 times is, the first one is, be silent if your words could damage a friendship. I don't know about that. That's bullshit. Fuck that. I mean, maybe if it's a real friend. Oh, I see what to say. Okay, when I say, yeah, real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. That's really, there are times in a friendship where it's good to just be silent. And just listen. There we go. So be silent if your words could damage a friendship. So yes, I agree with it. 2, be silent in the heat of anger. Yes, I learned that. Actually, I'm going to touch on that later in News and Random Thoughts. But be silent in the heat of anger. spoiler alert, if you know me very well, those who know me very well know that I have a temper. But I've learned the hard way that when in rage, it's not the best time to let out your feelings unless that person had it coming. But to agree with the sentiment, be silent in the heat of anger. 3, be silent when you don't have all the facts. That's right, okay? If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're, what do I say? If you don't have the answers, then shut the fuck up. Yes. If you don't understand the question, shut the fuck up. Be silent if you can't say it without screaming. Yes. I guess that goes with anger. Be silent if your words will offend a person. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know, man. I'm all about telling white folks, telling white folks that, hey, your parents lied to you, man. This country was born out of genocide, and not the nice genocide that you're the sugar-coated version of genocide. No. Entire nations and group of people disappear, so had to die so they can make space for this beautiful country of yours. All right. Be silent if your words will offend a person. Interesting. Actually, I agree with that notion. Unless there's something to gain for being offended. It has happened to me. I have this joke going around. I have this joke about a local comedian, right? At the time, she went by the name K-Joy. And she had a joke about the friend zone. And I was less enlightened. I joked about how I was offended by the joke. And people laughed at that shit. But deep down inside, I'm like, I don't understand why the friend zone is such a bad thing. But the point is, I was really offended, but I was a little offended. I'm like, because I didn't understand where she was. Like, it was for the first time the concept of the friend zone was presented as a bad thing. That thought, that feeling, that reaction, it was a funny joke, don't get me wrong, bro. But that joke led to further understanding to, patriarchy ain't shit. Oh my God. Misogyny is a thing. You know, so what I'm getting at is, I don't agree offending people for someone else's entertainment, but I am okay with offending someone if it leads to a greater understanding. Now, that doesn't count for, well, what about slavery? You know what I mean? Well, the benefits of slavery. I mean, sure, we can talk about the benefits of slavery. We can talk about how, you know, we learned a lot about how disgusting white people are as a people when they come together. The ugly things that white people can do when they come together. I mean, we could have that conversation. Not sure if your kid's going to enjoy that, but whatever. Okay, my point is, I'm 50-50 on this. Be silent if your words will offend a person. Be silent if your words convey the wrong impression. Okay, I don't really have a thoughts about that one. And last but not least, be silent when you are feeling critical. I used to say that, I'm sure it's not unique to Ottawa, but I used to say that, I'm sure it's not unique to Ottawa, but I used to say it was an Ottawa thing. You know what? Okay, let me stick to the first statement. I'm sure it's not unique to Ottawa, but I do agree with the notion I have developed that people who, you can create content and the people who it wasn't meant for, the people who won't like it tend to be very vocal. People like the people who hate your shit, people who hate your shit like to be vocal about the fact that they hate your shit. Even if they weren't the target audience for that shit. Does that make sense? How about me if it doesn't make sense? All I'm saying is, people like to criticize. People like to shit on people's shit. People like to criticize. And it reminds me of a saying from in the book Greatest Salesman in the World, and he talks about in the scroll about love. You got to read the book to understand. It's a very short book, but there's a scroll about love, and it talks about how there's a part where about a habit of being more loving to say, and he says how it's very easy to criticize and it's harder to praise, and to get more into the habit of praising than it is than criticizing. So yes, 7th one, be silent when you are feeling critical. Okay, I am not gonna read the comment section for that shit, for that one, but I know that it's not going to. Yeah, I'm not gonna read the comment section. But again, as always, links will be in the show notes for this stuff. I should mention that I'm actually recording this visually, like also audio and video. And if I put this out on video, I'm wearing a hip hop t-shirt today in celebration of hip hop. Now, new listeners, this is actually I don't usually like to go long in my intros, but whatever. This is my podcast. It's my podcast. I entitle myself to make the mistakes like that and not beat myself up for it. So with that said, we shall follow up with this concludes intro, and now let's jump to news and random thoughts. So let's do this. Here we go. All right. What's the difference between intro and news and random thoughts? See what I did with those 7 quotes, and then I shared my thoughts? Well, that usually goes in news and random thoughts. Intro is supposed to be short. Just to be short, it's just meant to break the ice and just to break things up a bit. All right, okay. So where are we at? You know, because I got to get creative as a solo. I'm on a podcast by myself, and I understand that. So I got to keep you entertained, right? If I was a stripper, I'm just saying, if I was a stripper and if I was a fat stripper, I don't know. I guess I'm just saying I was competing with hot ass chicks. I got to find ways to keep the audience entertained. So that's where I'm like, hey, I'm gonna crack some jokes. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. News and random thoughts. First item on the docket. Oh, this is me just being personal. I'm going through the Game of Thrones audiobook again. I went through it before. I used to watch it when the TV show was out, but now I'm rewatching it for the sake of my own entertainment. I mean, I have given up, it's like I've forgiven HBO TV special for season 8. I'm still only angry at it. But going through the book, season 1, allows me to pick up on things that I didn't pick. Oh my God, B, don't. I tend to yap a lot on the first item. Let me calm down. The reason why I'm talking about the audiobook is 1, A, because it's entertaining. B, I have to have noise, man. If sometimes when I don't feel, some of my podcasts are just, they trigger emotions that I don't want to feel at the time. And sometimes I just need to hear something in the background. And this audiobook just does it for me, especially when I know the ending. It's like rewatching a TV show on Netflix just for the sake of having something on my TV. Why? Because I got voices in my head. Anyways, yeah. So, but my point is, I remember something someone said about George R.R. Martin's writing style. He said that when it comes to writing, some folks are gardeners, some writers are gardeners, and some writers are architects, right? So the architect decides how the story is going to end. They work from backwards. While the gardener, they plant a seed, and then they just let it grow, and they go with the flow. And the reason why I liked about that analogy, it reminds me about this podcast. The concept of Shut Up Podcast, I hadn't figured out. I just went with the flow. I said I have the name Shut Up Podcast. I bought the name. I bought the domain. There wasn't a lot of thought that went into the name, but now I managed to make it into this huge concept about how shut up, as in. Forcing people to hear what I gotta say, or talking to an audience that's willing to hear what I gotta say, and in exchange, they're willing to give me their silence and their thoughts. Shut up, like the 7 quotes that I read earlier, or shut up, everything in the theme song, or shut up, the motto is shut up, silence is golden, point in the story. Anyway, I'm just saying, I hear you, George R. R. Martin. You know, I have this theory that the reason why he hasn't released or he's not working on Winds of Winter is because he's pretty much told us, look, how the book ends. and everyone shitted on him for the ending. Well, they shit on the TV show, and I guess he's like, well, you know the ending. I am so not motivated of telling you the rest of the story. I mean, whatever journey I take into explaining why it ended the way it ended, you guys are going to hate me for it, so fuck y'all. I don't know. That's my theory. People are saying that, oh, he's just too busy. Yeah, fuck that, man. He doesn't want to, man. He saw people's reaction. He saw, like, okay, so you guys don't like the idea of Daenerys losing her mind, even though her fucking family is a bunch of crazy motherfuckers. So be it. What's the point? I'm going to put out a story just so you can motherfucker. You know what? I prefer enjoying you criticizing me for not finishing the book than finishing the book and have you motherfucking shit on me. I'm just saying. I ain't mad, George. I'm so not mad. All right, okay. But I am kind of impressed that I would hate to be in his shoes because I'm a procrastinator. There's a lot of shit that I didn't finish. I would hate to have, like, a whole segment of the world pissed off at me because I'm procrastinating. I'm like, looks like you guys going to be pissed for me for life. All right, okay. All right, yeah. So Game of Thrones books. Oh, funny story. Next on the docket on the rundown sheet. So I tweeted. Shout out to my homie. Shout out to a Twitter follower, old classmate. Dude made me laugh. Hold on. What did I put in the tweet? Oh, did I really not share the tweet? I said, hold on a second. Yeah. I'm blanking on names right now, man. And if he hears this podcast going, nigga, what? You forgot my name? No, it's gotten so bad that I have to go on the internet to remember my friend's name. There we go. Franklin Saint. I'm kidding. No, Franklin on food. Franklin on food. I see you, brother. that dude makes me laugh. Anyways. So I tweeted on the last episode, I praised Melly Mel's diss track to Eminem, right? I still remember doing that. Okay, sincerely, I actually enjoyed it. And then I shared the track with everyone, thinking we would all be on the same page. And then turns out, I'm laughing because Franklin on Food was the first one to respond to my tweet and be like, yo, that shit was trash. And reading his tweet is what made me realize that, oh, shit, the rest of the internet thinks this shit's trash. And the funny thing is, it's not his tweet, it's everyone else's tweet dissing it that made me want to be like, hey, maybe I should edit that the podcast. Okay, here's why it's funny. Here's why all this shit is funny. Because on the last episode, I talked about how I'm working on that part of me that looks to others for approval. All right? I mean, it's deep down. I was talking about coons, how coons want approval from white people, and I can relate to that shit. And then I realized that when I finally discovered that, hey, oh my God, I'm a black guy. I'm a black person. When I finally had that discovery, I also let go of white people's approval. I mean, it was a journey. Don't take me wrong. It was like instant, but I started to realize that how I was a slave to white people's approval. What's that? Polite politics? What's that thing there? Politics of politeness. What's that word again? Polite. Okay, I got it. You know what? This is one of those. Polite politics? Is that what it's called? Polite? No, what's that shit called? I'm thinking of... Oh, my God. What's that? Oh, my God. Okay, I'm trying to remember that politics when... The thing is, we're going to end racism by being what white people... By listening to white people's criticism about us and working on that, so pulling up your pants. Not identity politics. Fuck. Shout out to the people listening to this podcast going, it's this word. Anyway, what's going to happen is I'm going to hit stop, and then it's going to come to me right now. not identity politics. It's the voices in my head are talking to me. No, it's the other politics. It's not behavior politics. It's whatever. It's because when I stress my brain to remember something, it's like it gives me the middle finger. So I'll get back to it. But my point is, I'm laughing. I was in the middle of explaining why this is all funny to me. I'm laughing because of the last episode. I was just talking about how doing shit for other people's approval, and when I found out that the entire internet did not like the entire internet, including Melly Mel, didn't like his response to Eminem. I remember going, feeling so shy and feeling like, wanted to edit that part out of the podcast, but then it hit me. That's what this podcast is about. Putting out the real me, not the version of me that, oh, okay, what do you want me to, conform? But that's what this, basically, I'm going down with the ship. Okay. All right. Fuck it, man. People didn't like it. All right. I can respect it, but fuck it. Nah, I'm going to play it again. Just to piss you people off. I'm going to play it. Where is it? Where is it? Nope, that's not it. Oh, right. I was in the middle of. There we go. No, where is. Ooh. Bum, 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 bum. There we go. This is it.
No apologies, this ain't a disclaimer. I'm the king of legend, the first Hall of Famer. Making diss tracks, I know you with that. Now everybody get ready for the kickback. Why you hurt, why you mad, now you look bad. Like a roach just crawled out of your book bag. In a pack clash, you lack.
You know why I like that? I think it's because, because he's old school. Because he's old school rapper. Look at me making an excuse. Fuck it, man, I'm going down. Melly Mel, I'm the one guy, you didn't need to, fuck it. Fuck making an apology, man. You Melly Mel, goddammit. What did Franklin say? He said, because he pretty much used the same word. He said, what's funny is the person who shared the video, this track, the Melly Mel track, I didn't even pay attention to his caption. He goes, much love to Melly Mel. That's all I heard. I stopped at that word, at that sentence. But he goes, he goes, much love to Melly Mel. I got to keep it a buck. And I didn't pay attention to his emojis. It's like five trash cans. No, you can't diss the great. I'm like, the greats? All right, yeah. Shout out to Old Head Energy, man. She man? I can't pronounce that. Okay, when I can't pronounce a word in English, I pronounce it in French. So, Xiamen. All right. Okay. So that's where we're at, man. Okay. So, I still shut up podcast stands by its statement about Melly Mel's track. Even though there's an article about that in the show notes about how Melly Mel goes, damn, I regret putting that bullshit out. But, here we are. All right. Okay. Fuck it. Again, on the theme of hip hop, I am going to, I'm going to play this way. What time is it? How much have I been? Okay, no, I'm good. I'm good. Nas. Apparently Nas received a, I'm not going to play this thing, but I just learned that Nas got an award from Billboard. Excuse me. Nas got on the Hip Hop Hall of Fame inductee award from Billboard. Here's a quote. I'm not gonna play his whole entitle of a whole speech. Oh wait, it's right here. Okay, hold on. Let me see. Just some. Oh my God. There's the point. I think I got ADD. But the point where I'm going with this, right, is I remember growing up, and all my favorite artists, especially Nas, back in the days, accepting the fact that they didn't have Grammy. Like it was normal for me that people I considered artists. People that I enjoy who brought me, people whose music I would run to the record store and buy. I accepted that I lived in the world where the rest of the world was like, oh, that's trash. Oh, it's terrible. It's like there was a time where only a small group of us were into hip hop. I still remember, we were a minority. I remember, no, actually, we were a minority. I remember when hip-hop was black people music. Saying you hated hip-hop, you were pretty much saying, yeah, I also don't like black people, but it's code for I don't like black people. Yeah, I still remember the early days of when Billboard, the Grammys, I was going to say the Oscars, all that shit, they were like, hip, what? What the fuck? I remember when hip-hop was considered that genre that was going to die. I still remember those days. And I, you know what? Part of me kind of misses it. I mean, for the artists, it wasn't that great. Maybe, who knows? They were probably free. But I still remember when it wasn't that popular. I still remember when hip-hop was growing and people were free to do what they want. But more importantly, I loved how hip-hop was that thing that a selected few of us enjoyed, and we didn't mind. We didn't mind. I mean, we were okay with, fuck it, man, the people who like rock music, the people who like R&B don't like hip-hop. So be it. Like, it was the cool thing to be part of the region, to be an outcast. A motherfucking outcast. And now that it's gone mainstream, and it's like, oh, nah, that's not true. I don't reject hip-hop anymore. But I kind of miss those days when I didn't bother watching the Billboard or cared about those things. Now, with all that said, shout out to Nas for finally receiving an award. I'm sure he's proud and he deserves it and all that shit. But hold on, let me hear his acceptance speech. Hold on, if it's not long, I'll play the whole thing. See if he did it. If it was him, if I was him, I'd be like, it's about fucking times, crackers. Hold on a second. Is it gonna play? Like, it's not playing. But if I was white, you'd play. Okay, well, I can't get this thing to play. That doesn't matter, right? But I'll read one quote. Someone said, he goes, Joey, Gotham Hip Hop. He goes, Nas in his acceptance speech for Billboard Hip Hop Hall of Fame Inductee Award. I'm starting to win awards in my third prime. Good for you. I never won awards in the 90s. 49 years old. I'm about to turn 50 along with hip hop, man. And I'm starting to see awards. Good for you, bro. I'm just so honored to still be alive to see it be 50 years as a fan. Even though it should have happened sooner. Okay, sorry. And the author, Joey, writes, Gotham Hip Hop writes, even though it should have happened sooner, I'm glad to see Nas get his flowers from these majors outlet. Yeah, you know what I mean? I guess so. I mean, for Nas, I'm happy. But as a fan, I'm like, fuck, I'm still like, fuck Billboard. Yeah, you kids don't understand. I'm still, fuck Billboard. It's the reason why I never took these awards ceremonies seriously. I know for you artists, it's a big deal. But for me, it's like these rappers help me be comfortable with the idea of being a loser. Not being a loser, but the fact that the world was pointing their finger at me and saying, you're a loser, you're insignificant. I'm like, yeah, you're a loser because you listen to that rapper Nas. You know, you're not like us. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say it's not being a loser, but it was more being okay with the idea that I wasn't like everyone else. I mean, sure, I struggled with it, but it was that one time, it was that one moment where I talk a lot about how I spent a major part, a lot of my life wishing I was something else. But the one time where I was okay with my skin was while I was listening to hip hop. That's what I'm trying to say. And I was okay with the fact that Billboard, all these major outlets, wasn't showing any love because that's what me and hip-hop had in common. There we go. That's what I'm saying. We knew we were dope. Okay, I didn't know I was dope, but I knew hip-hop was dope. And, yeah. Anyways, shout out to Nas and congratulations on your award. What else do I got? Okay. We can't give up. You know what we're still talking about? Montgomery Brawl. It's funny, I started listening to Black IO Tips, Three Guys On, like, you know, the, like, pick your favorite black podcast, and of course, still talk. Oh, I'm catching up on some of these episodes, and I started playing the episodes when, on the date, like, were released around August 5th, on that fateful day of, okay, hold on, let me put, yeah, August 5th. 2023. You know, by the way, shout out, hey, if you're from Alabama and you want to make some money, like for a tourist attraction, I would so attend a reenactment. You should have a yearly reenactment of August 5th of the Montgomery Brawl. Yo, I would so travel to Alabama. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be willing to go to Alabama. Yeah, fuck that. Two reasons I go to Alabama. A, to see the museum, Martin Luther King, juniors, anything historical about that. And, three reasons. Two, if there's a reenactment of the Montgomery Brawl, I want to partake in that shit. I don't know how much that ticket is, but I'll save money for it. And three, some barbecue. Barbecue. I want to see what, you know, Southern cooking is all about. I mean, I know what it's all about, but I figured I know that shit is good. And after that, I get the fuck out because I don't trust you crackers. Yeah. You crazy crackers. Apparently Alabama? Is Alabama the state or the city? Alabama. Oh, God damn it. Alabama is, if I put Alabama. Hey, I'm Canadian, all right? I don't have to, you guys don't remember. I live in Ontario. Sorry. It's me justifying not knowing if Alabama is a state or a city. Yeah, it's a state. Oh, Montgomery, Alabama. Pay attention. Montgomery is the city. Alabama is the state. All right, okay. Woo, this is embarrassing, man. Nah, I'm not embarrassed. Fuck it. Okay, I am not familiar with American geography. That's a lie. Just not Alabama. All I know about Alabama is stay the fuck out. Or what I've known about it. Aside to the black people who live there who are like, no, you can hang out with us. All right, okay. Right, Montgomery Brawl. Montgomery Brawl. Why am I talking about it? Because I have some content to share with y'all. Okay, so I spent my career... Oh, so this is one of those situations where I find a title and didn't share it. Oh, okay. Okay, so I guess I spent my career explaining race. What's this about? Is this an article or? Oh, yeah. So there's an article on NPR and it goes... right. Okay. Yeah. You know what? And it just goes over all the memes, I'll tell you what, I'll leave this article for you to read, but the only reason I brought up, oh my God. Okay. Opinion culture. I spent my career explaining race, but it hit a wall with Montgomery Brawl memes. You know, I'm going to leave that in the show notes for your reading pleasure. But the one thing I will share with you all is, all right, okay, there's a rap song I wanted to play. But you know what? Okay, I'm going to speed this up. I'm going to play some spoken word by content creator on TikTok. And here, I'll just play it and tell you his name after. Here we go.
Excited about the Montgomery Brawl? Let me pause for the calls and school all of y'all. Mm. You see, we couldn't be there when Trayvon Martin was unalived, because had we been there, perhaps he would have survived. We couldn't be there when George Floyd went down, because had we been there, perhaps he'd still be around. See, we couldn't be there for our dear sweet sister Sandra Bland, who unfortunately fell into the hands of a racist man. Mm. We couldn't be there for Emmett Till, who never saw it coming. So when Unk was being attacked, that's why we came a running. See, we were brawling for Breonna Taylor and we were throwing down for Mike Brown. We couldn't be there for Ahmaud Arbery. That's why we had to show up full force in Montgomery. Now, I know things got ugly and people got hurt, but this was really for those four girls who were bombed at their church. Addie Mae Collins and Denise McNair, Carol Robertson and Cynthia Wesley. That was so unfair. See, it's no mystery. This country has a history of black people being bullied with no consequences or penalties. Have you heard about James Byrd? They drug him until his head was dismembered. Or what about Megger Evers, shot in his driveway? Remember? Y'all heard of Lemuel Penn? He was an educator in D.C. In 1964, he was killed by Klansmen simply for a DWB. Y'all heard of Lewis Allen? He saw a black man get unalived. So they decided to take his life simply so the brother wouldn't testify. Y'all heard of Virgil Lamar Ware? Probably not. He was only 13 years old riding his bicycle when that young brother was fatally shot. See, what happened in Montgomery was really for the strange fruit found hanging from the poplar trees. Those beaten, bruised, battered black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. So yeah, we swung our chairs and threw our hats in the air. Like a graduation, we commenced to the degree of waging warfare. So hear ye, let the record show that we're not gonna take this kind of racial abuse anymore. So if we find ourselves coming under attack, just know we swinging chairs and we bound to fight back. Why were we excited about the Montgomery Brawl? Because in the past, we couldn't be there for them. But in the present, we can be there for y'all.
For y'all. Corey Duncan. Corey Duncan Sr. At Corey Duncan Sr. All right. Again, links in the show note. Shout out to Kenny Akers for sharing this. And yeah, first thought that came to mind when he was listing out names was was Karis One's "You Must Learn." You must learn. You know, I gotta make a sound clip out of that. I gotta make a sound clip out of.
Yo, man, they just suspended me, McBoo.
Word, they suspended the teacher?
Yeah, man, I'm getting so sick of this, man. They teaching us about nothing, man. You know what the bottom line is for black people out here? It's quite simple. You must learn.
Oh, my God. Speaking of tracks, hip-hop tracks that really... I should have made a list before starting the show, but I didn't, right? This is all random, pure coincidence. But yeah, You Must Learn on the... When I talk about how hip-hop changed my life, I still remember when this track... First time I heard this track and the part where KRS-One starts listing name, Haile Selassie, Granville Wood, made the walkie-talkie, Louis Lattimore, approve on Edison, Charles Schur, did a lot for medicine. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I don't trust my memory to recite this rhyme. But anyway, my point is that line when he says, you must learn. Yeah, the names that Corey Duncan Sr. mentioned, yeah. It's worth doing. It's worth doing, remembering those names. No, sorry, I just had to, as I was speaking, I was just thinking about how 2020 was a hard year. It was a tough year, and how I spent most of that year remembering, memorizing names of black folks who were killed or brutalized by the police. Like, it was like constantly Breonna Taylor. Like, it was constantly, oh, man, yeah. You know, it's not the, didn't help the depression. I guess that's what I'm trying. It didn't help the depression. All right, next on the item on my, okay, yes, I've been meaning to share this one. Okay. So I'm going to play the article because I can't play the video. This is something I've been meaning to talk about a while back. And it's about a content creator, a white woman, a content creator. And she had a video out, and I imagine it was meant to be funny on her part. And about how, and it was like, dumb things my husband did while I was in labor. All right. Now I can't play the video because she's taking it down. But I will play this article. Now, I have a different twist on it. Like, I'm not going to criticize the woman. I am... Here, I'll just play... Just so you can get an insight of what I'm talking about. Here we go. Yeah, my AI bot does the reading for me. Plus, it makes it look like I have other people on the show. Here we go.
TikTok is horrified by this woman's list of dumb shit her husband did when she was in labor. Mm-hmm. Another day, another woman on TikTok sharing her husband's deeply problematic behavior, like it's quirky and funny. It's honestly tragic, as the comments pointed out on this video about a TikToker's husband doing dumb things while she was in labor. Girl, run. TikToker Jenna Christie, at Fiancé Financial, a blogger whose content revolves around her dog, fiancé now husband, married life, and now motherhood, uploaded a video onto the platform about what a truly terrible support system her husband was during labor. "So I went walking through all the dumb things my husband did when I was in labor," she began, speaking via green screen with a timestamped list behind her. "My water broke at 2 p.m. At 6 p.m. things are happening, and he asks me what's for dinner," she said. "I'm like, I'm a little busy dilating right now. I can't fire up the fajitas right now, honey." Read more. Yeah, if you thought this list was going to be a bunch of silly, goofy little mistakes, you'd be wrong. It's red flag after red flag, baby. Jenna proceeded to recall that her husband offered her the dog's food bowl, what, when she needed to vomit. Took the scenic route while driving her to the hospital while she was deliriously in labor, with not even a hint of urgency, and sent pictures of her naked and delirious into the family group chat.
All right. Okay, you can read the rest for yourself. Two things I wish I could share. Two things I want to share. Well, the first one I can't share is there was a delay in starting this in recording today's episode. I was trying to remember the name of the content creator who stitched her video and opened my eyes to the reality that none of this shit was funny. Nothing she was saying was funny, and that she was in a terrible relationship. She was in a bad relationship. Now, I can't remember her name. I'm embarrassed. When I do, I will update the show notes and add it in there if I ever do. But because it's that content creator that got me thinking, remembering about something. I've been in therapy twice, and so my first therapist, something she once told me or opened my mind to the notion that when it comes to relationships, we attract what we think we deserve. And what I'm getting about that is, this is a personal take on it, is what I was thinking about is how this woman, I believe she took it upon herself sharing this video, and she thought she was being funny, oblivious of the possibility that, what my husband did was fucked up. Nothing about that shit was funny. I remember hearing about her video and thinking about the coworkers who complain about their wives and if I were to listen to their wives, I'd be like, you're the monster in this relationship. Anyway, but that's not my point. I'm not trying to talk about other people's relationship. I'm trying to talk about my own self, because that's what this podcast is all about. What I thought about is how I had to realize that when it comes to relationship, you attract what you believe you deserve. I remember I was in this one relationship, and I was surrounded by people. I wasn't looking at it. Yeah, see, I love one hunt. See, I love hard once, but my love wasn't returned. Anyway, I'm trying to recite something by Lauryn Hill. My point is, I was surrounded by people who I could understand weren't happy with the relationship I was in. I mean, sure, in my mind, I was like, sure, it was tough. Sure, things were difficult. But I mean, that's what love is all about. No idea, no guidance, no whatever. I was surrounded by people who didn't approve of my relationship. And here's the thing, I was not happy, but I didn't see it that way. I was surrounded by people, especially men, who were like, dude, you're pussy whoop. And at the time, I didn't see it as being pussy. I saw it as, this was interesting, I was in a normal relationship. Sure, it had some difficult times. Sure, it wasn't perfect, but what relationship was out there was perfect. But I remember telling myself, I don't see anything wrong. I mean, I was lying to myself, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I was lying to myself. I was in denial of the fact that, see, everyone else was like, you're whooped. But I wasn't whooped. What I didn't realize is I was with a chick who I was scared of making angry. Her fear, like I, what I thought was love at the time was actually the fear, was actually fear of making this person angry. So I couldn't say shit like, hey, I'm not happy, or I don't think I can make you happy, because I was worried about her ability to make me feel like shit. See, add the part that I was a highly sensitive person. So words were as strong as violence. There's a someone online once posted this notion, and people disagree with it, but I relate, I connected to it, and she said something like, a man who gets angry and then lets and turns to violence is as dangerous or similar, no, sorry, is as dangerous as a woman who gets angry and lets her words fly. Now, a lot of people said, oh, you can't compare the two, but I remember reading that and thinking, no, I could connect to that. I mean, I could connect to that. I'm not trying to downplay domestic violence, but I do remember feeling controlled. That's all it took. All it took is, it was just easy to hurt, for my feelings to get hurt. But when it's the person that you're in a relationship with, it's like I was more vulnerable to this person, and this person knew that, oh, this guy could be easily manipulated. Could easily be manipulated with words. All I got to do is bring him up, and when he doesn't behave the way I want him to behave, bring him down. Now, this is not meant to be she's bad, whatever. No, but this is more meant to be how, in that time, I thought it was all normal. And my entire responsibility in that relationship was to keep this person happy. Keep a person who can't be happy, happy. Now, how I ended up in that situation is not important. Okay, I'm realizing I'm over-explaining here. I'm trying to say things to people who can connect to what I'm trying to say here in simple sentence. What I'm getting at, the connection I'm making between this content creator and myself, is how we were both in a situation where we thought it was normal, but the reality is we were in a dysfunctional situation. And what I'm getting at is, it's very easy to get caught up. Maybe not for all of you, maybe for some of us out there, it's easy to get caught up in a situation where you think it's normal, but in the eyes of reality, it's like, nah, you deserve better. I think I kind of felt sorry for that woman. Whatever, she's on the internet, she put out content she thought would be funny. Only to realize, like, I wonder, I'm sure she was offended by the backlash. Speaking of being offended, I'm sure she was offended by the backlash, but it was the truth. Like, I agree. What she thought was funny was not funny. I was listening, at first I would have dismissed it. But it's when people pointed it out, I'm like, nah, that is some fucked up shit to do. Yo, that's the mother of your child. I don't know, whatever you think of this woman, that woman has a child in her. The least you can fucking do is try to make her life simple, not add to her problem, try to take away from it. All I'm saying is, she took down the video, and I won't be surprised if these two, her husband convinced her into, man, people on the internet are sensitive, baby. Come on, I treat you good, bitch, whatever. Let me bring it back to myself. When I was in that relationship at the time, I was not ready to learn that I was in a shitty relationship. At the time, it was everything I needed. I was in a situation that I believe I needed to be in. And then fast forward, after shit didn't work out, fast forward, therapy session later, to find out that, oh, wow, okay, so all the things I went through wasn't normal or wasn't great, wasn't acceptable. That's not what love is supposed to look like. It was a learning experience, man. Well, okay, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm being careful from talking shit, criticizing this woman because I remember when I was in that situation. And here's the thing, with all the growth that I've done now, I'm actually scared of me in another situation thinking it's all okay only to find out that, nah, dude, you were playing yourself. You were cutting yourself short. Life is way better than that. I'm going to leave it at that. I can't say any more than I said. But yeah, links will be in the show notes. And you can shout out to the woman. I'm kind of hoping the woman who took down her video doesn't take it as, oh, people on the internet just don't understand. No, realize that, yeah, if what you said were true, if you didn't exaggerate, if what you said were true, yeah, that's, your husband ain't shit. But whatever. I'm on the internet. She's in a relationship. Fuck do I know? All right. Okay. What else do I have on the show notes? Oh, yeah. Word Team Barbie by Justin Trudeau. Okay. I'm not going to go long on this one, but I do like, I remember when long story short, Trudeau went to go see Barbie with his son. Good for him. And he's dressed in pink. And he posted a picture of him and his son going, "We're Team Barbie." Now, if you know Justin Trudeau, current Prime Minister of Canada, he's got a lot of haters. He's got a lot of people who hate Justin Trudeau in this country are what I call the so-called tough guys. Are core members of, are dedicated, fanatical members of the cult of masculinity. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I do know that if you look at his target haters, a lot of them are like, yo, I'm a man. I got a fucking penis. I'm a man. I'm a dama man. And if you got to be a man. No, not just a man. I'm a heterosexual man. I'm the definition of masculinity. Fucking shout out to, what's his name? Jordan Peterson. And the cult of masculinity and the game is my Bible. Like those kind of, like, tough guys. I'm going to call them tough guys. And I'm sure when he posted that picture, what I'm wondering is when he posted that picture, was he trolling those people? Was he trolling his haters? Or was he just being himself? Or was it both? I think about it. This goes back to what I was saying about not seeking other people's approval. Like, I respect that about Justin Trudeau. You know, politics aside, he's a politician. I don't fuck with politicians, but that's another story. Politics aside, that aspect of Trudeau I love. I like that. You know what? Fuck y'all. Ain't shit I'm going to do that's going to make me like you. What do you want me to do? Give in? Give up? Kill myself? Fuck you. This is my life. I'm going to live it as I want. And by the way, I got security, so go fuck yourself. So I kind of like the fact that he's living that part about Justin Trudeau is the, can I live? He's not asking, can I? I'm going to live. I'm fuck it. Sometimes I think part of being prime minister is just being, part of being a Canadian prime minister is just being that guy that people could turn to and blame for everything that's wrong in their lives. Or anything that's wrong about life. So fucking Trudeau, whatever. I remember when Stephen Harper was an prime minister. Yeah, I hated the guy. I didn't like the guy. I mean, did I make it personal? I mean, I hated Stephen Harper like I hated every white person that I would beat with a folding chair. You know what I mean? I mean, them racist type. Stephen Harper spoke to the people who, I think I'm trying to justify my hatred of Canadian politician to, I think I'm trying to justify my hatred of a Canadian politician and say my hatred was okay, yours were wrong. I'm sticking to it, man. I'm just saying, look, man, JT is not a perfect human being. Like, he's done some fuck shit, but not to the point where. But when it came to posting a picture about himself wearing pink with his son talking about Word Team Barbie, I fucking respect the shit out of him for doing that, man. Just like I respect him for that one time when he became prime minister and he said a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. Yeah. Justin Trudeau reminds me of, yeah, he did blackface. Yeah, I fucking know. Every white person in this country likes to remind me, yeah, he did blackface, nigger, and whatever. When it comes to white people, when it comes to white people, Justin Trudeau is as good as it fucking gets. That's not a praise. That's a diss about white people. That's like, I'm saying, your brand is already low. But a white man who's willing to come out and say shit like, you know what? Blackface was wrong. I did it. I fucked up. What I did was wrong. And not attempt to gas face me. No. What I did wasn't racist. You know, that's like progress for a white person to say, yeah, blackface was wrong. I was a fuckboy for doing it. I was wrong for doing it. Not going to make any excuse for doing it. I did it. At the time, it made sense. And now I realized I was wrong. Just being that kind of white person to look back at your fuck-ups and be like, you know what? Yeah, that was wrong. All I can do is beg for apology. But I'm going to ask for an apology for something that doesn't deserve an apology. Like, just being that kind of white person who can say that is a fucking upgrade for white people. But I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about being the kind of being a man willing to say, yo, I went to go see Barbie. Not because I'm trying to piss you off, because there was value to this fucking movies and it pissed you off. Okay, you know what? There's a content creator, her TikTok user. Her name is Lisa B0923. Is that her birthday? I'm gonna assume that's her birthday. That's gotta be her birthday. Whatever. 0923, she's got an interesting take on it, and her take sounds way better than mine, and it's more focused, and links is in the show notes. You should check it out and take it from there. I played here, but you know, it's kind of long. I'm trying to wrap up this episode, but here we go. Yeah, links will be in the show notes. Last but not least, I got this from Dr. Nicole LaPera. She hasn't been tweeting in a while. I don't know. Either she hasn't been tweeting in a while, or it just hasn't, the algorithm hasn't showed it in my timeline. But recently she posted something that made me think, and I felt the need to share with the rest of y'all. And it goes, signs of emotionally available people. Signs of emotionally available people. To be honest, I never understood the concept of being emotionally available. So maybe that's why I felt the need why this thing got my attention. I thought I liked it. Okay, okay, it goes, seven signs. Wait, did she just write down seven? Yeah, okay. It goes, don't erupt or go into irrational behavior when feelings are expressed. Oh, okay, well, I mean, we're not all perfect. But I mean, I've had my moments. Let's just say I've had my moment. Okay, two, can have difficult conversation. Okay, that too. Okay, that I have. Yes, I'm able to have difficult conversation. I mean, sure, there's difficult conversation I can have, but for the most part, I'm good at that. All right. Okay. Two, three. Can listen to a different perspective. Yes. All right. The only perspective I get, it's been challenges. Like if you're a racist ass cracker, if you were at that Montgomery, if you're like one of those white people who didn't want to move their pontoon. And really didn't want to move it because got indignant because this black person showed up to you and said, move your pontoon. And you were like, fuck that. Yeah, I can't relate to that perspective. But for the most part, I'm good at it. Yeah. Four, words align with actions. Hey, I'm working on it. Words align with action. In short, they do what they say. Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm working on it. My phone's freaking out. My phone's freaking out because it thinks I'm working out. That or jerking off. We're at four or five. Five, apologize when they're hurtful or act out of character. Ah, man, I recently had a moment with someone and they were hurtful and acted out of character and it blew my fucking mind. But I'm trying to get out of the habit of focusing on other people's fault and focusing on my own fault. So for five, apologize when they are hurtful or act out of character. I think I do that. Yeah, I think. I don't get a perfect score on a lot of these things here. Six, do not use silence to punish. Okay, that one made me defensive. Okay, yes. If we know each other, yes, silence is my weapon. I was going to say, yes, it's my weapon. It's both weapon, also It's also to save you from my temper. See, I know what it's like to say shit that you can't take back. So it's better for me to just go silent. To be silent. So it's part weapon, but it's also, I'd rather stay silent because if we talk, it won't be a productive conversation. 7, they're secure. They do not thrive off negative intensity, drama, or chaos. They're secure. Yeah, I'm working on that too. All this to say, and that's why I'm not in a relationship, because I got things to work on. Got things to work on, all right? Okay, yeah. Signs of emotionally available people. All right. Okay, yeah. Well, shout out Dr. Nicole LaPera, and I thought that was deep. And this finally concludes News and Random Thoughts. Well, this episode 102 of Ruse and Random Thoughts. Let's do some final thoughts, and we get the fuck out of here. If it's not get too late, then I might hit a patio with a friend here, because I'm getting hungry here. But, yeah. Here we go, man. Here we go. If I'm rambling on, it's because I'm hungry. So, here we go. Pump, pump. All right. I don't have... Okay, well, first of all, what's up with today's title? Today's title, if you couldn't tell, is the first verse from the track Raising Hell by Run DMC. And the reason I share this track is because I remember having that song on repeat the first time I discovered it. Raising Hell is from the album Raising Hell by Run DMC. And I still remember going through my older cousin's record collection and then discovering this tape, this green tape, and it has these two black people on it, and Raising Hell. I'm like, wait, I thought hell was a bad thing. And hitting play on that shit, and boom, my life changed after this. Look, if I hadn't discovered, it was love at first listen when it came to hip hop. Oh, by the way, I did mention that it's hip hop's birthday. So, all together now, I was going to sing happy birthday for hip hop. Here we go. All right. You ready? 1, 2.
Happy birthday, homie.
Homie.
Yeah. Happy birthday, homeboy.
For me.
Yeah. Make a wish.
All right. Happy birthday. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Happy birthday, hip hop. Because of all the violence. You know, it doesn't matter. It made me laugh. That's what counts. All right, yeah. Love at first here. I think I was 11 when I discovered it, but I remember playing Raising Hell. I don't know how I managed to. I don't know if I stole that tape or managed to get my cousin to lend me his tape. But either way, it came home with me, and I had that shit on loop. And I remember the reference to hell. I must have been 11 when I heard it, because I remember it gave birth to that part of me that was ready to rebel. the other thing, this was, once I discovered this tape, that's when I wanted to know more about this genre called hip hop. At the time, I think I just referred to it as rap music. According to KRS-One, hip hop is the culture. Rap is like hip hop is what you live. Rap is what you do. That's what he kept saying. So when I think of hip hop, I guess the idea is graffiti. There's 5 elements to hip-hop. Graffiti, DJ, MCing, breakdancing. What's the... you know what? Now I'm going to have to Google the 5 elements of hip-hop. What's the fifth one? 5 elements. 5 elements. Oh, God damn it. Elements of hip-hop. You know what? I don't have a lot to say about hip-hop. Lyricism, DJing, b-boying, graffiti, historical knowledge, and movement. Man, they made that last shit up. Oh, it's 4 elements. It was 5th element. Someone added a 5th one. Yeah. Historical knowledge and movement. I mean, I get, yeah. If by historical knowledge is respecting the greats, the legends, the ones that came before, those who laid down the foundation, then yeah, I believe that should be an element. Which is why that Melly Mel, fuck it, man. Don't take back the track. Eminem, please don't disrespect the Melly Mel back. But whatever, here we are. Where was I? Okay, you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to a cunt. Okay, just quick memory, right? Okay, here's the thing about hip-hop I remember in the early days, early adopting phase of hip-hop, is when it came to Canadian rap artists, we had no love for them. I remember the early days, if I saw Canadian rap artists, I'd be like, yeah, stop, skip. Well, we didn't have skip, fast forward, or stop button. We didn't show any love. It was rare to be a Canadian rap artist and people liked your shit. Granted, we got better. Look, okay, like Maestro Fresh West was fucking rare. Okay, and then, okay, Bacardi and whatever. And then, I was going to say Dream Warriors, but they pissed me off with that Ludi song. Sorry, that, you know what? we had beef with, we as in Haitian kids, us Haitian kids had beef with Dream Warriors because they did a song called Ludi. And they shouted out all these islands from the Caribbean and didn't mention Haiti. Oh, that pissed off the pissed us off the fuck off. Now, granted, maybe he was listing out islands that played the game Ludi, and I didn't get that memo. But I remember he was like, Jamaica, Trinidad, blah, blah, blah. He's like, come on, you got to say Haiti. And he didn't say Haiti. So ever since then, we hated Dream Warriors until they made this one track. Okay, but I mean, now I'm okay with Dream Warriors. Shout out to... shout out to Wyclef for putting Haiti on the map. before Wyclef, before Fugees, yeah, man, Haitians and rap music did not mix. I mean, sure, there was rumors. Oh, the guy from UTFO, I heard he was Haitian, but no one bragged about being Haitian, or no one talked about having a Haitian friend in hip hop. But yeah, fast forward. So where was I going with this? Okay, yeah, I'm just trying to talk about my history with hip-hop. I want to... Oh, right. What I was trying to say is... Back in the days, if you were a rap artist, I didn't want to hear your fucking demo tape. Shout out to Nine Planets. Nine Planets, there was actually a local group from Ottawa. And I still remember being in the Rideau Center and Georgie showed up and gave me their sample. They had like... They worked on this... a demo, not a demo, yeah, is it a demo tape? Yeah, like a sample. They had a sample of their album, and I remember taking that tape, like, out of, like, because he's my friend. I'm like, okay, fuck, out of pity, I'm like, oh, fine, I'll listen to your fucking tape. I did not expect it to be good. That's my point. Hold on a second. Nine sample. Nine Planets. I gotta remind myself that I cannot... walk and chew gum at the same time. Hip hop. Yeah, I'm sure they took down the name because, yeah, okay, right. And then putting that tape in, and the first track that came was...
Why are dinosaurs here anyways?
Well, you know, no, Dad thinks it's because we fall into another universe.
That wasn't it.
It thinks from all of time and space here.
That wasn't it.
It really is a land of the lost.
It was,
Welcome to the land of the lost. Nine Planets and hip hop in the game.
Oh,
DL, two letters.
Hold on. What? Yeah, DL was... my point is, Nine Planets hip-hop put Ottawa on the fucking map. As far as I'm concerned. I mean, sure, there was Clarence Gruff. And sure, there was... what's that dumb white boy's name? Organized Crime. Organized Rhyme. Yeah. I won't lie, man. I was jealous of Organized Crime's success. But what I'm trying to say is when it came to hip hop, in terms of who put, for me personally, if you ask B Black, who put Ottawa hip hop on the map, I'd easily say Nine Planets, the whole crew. DL Incognito, Hassan, now goes by the name of God Bless, and Mike Check. Well, represent, okay, I'm trying to play that one track. And all of us, the first track I heard when I remember playing the tap, okay, what's it called? That one track he played, and not Two Letters, not Street Caviar. The Street Caviar, I Ain't Feeling You, Letan, Struggle, It's All Right, It's Okay. No, not that one. Represent Freestyle, Shout Out. I'm blanking on their name, Street Caviar. All up prime time, words of wisdom, stereotypes. What the fuck? What's the name of the track? Dun-dun-dun. Oh, is it under DL? Nah, man. Ah, oh, man. Not two letters. Not street caviar. Even though that was a dope track, yes. I'm feeling you? No. No, that's not it. Litton. Not that one.
Yo, this Planet Asia represent with nine planets.
That one. This one. That was in the track, but I remember. Hey, 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 hey.
The jungle always claims those who don't learn how to survive.
I drink a whole bottle of Guinness. You hate that I did it live without any gimmicks. Compute
using Linux.
And I give my critics answers. They lost like the city of Atlantis. Dressed in black or pebble like the Panthers. Y'all rap niggas cancer. I used to rock a red Helly Hansen. Before hip hop was in the Hamptons. A Green Lantern mix. Thick with new tracks. I'm the needle in the haystack. Nigga take back with a grain of salt or a malt of beer. Everybody wanna be
cash money millionaires. Oh!
Warfare.
Oh my god, man. I should mention, I went to high school with these dudes. So, in primary school, DL and his brother. And so that's why it was a fucking big deal. I still remember. You know what I feel like? I feel like Tupac at the end of hip hop. That was the shit. That was the shit. Yeah, man. So if I'm going to go into hip hop history, then I might as well go. Okay, first it started with Run DMC. And then Proud to Be Black, that's when I developed my identity as a black person. And fast forward, then I remember how, You Must Learn, all this shit happened. Okay, I guess I'm making it more personal for myself. But when these, is this the track? Stereotypes? Nope, that's not it. Okay. Fuck, what's the name of that track they came out with? Oh man, I'm sorry, DL. But my point is, I knew these dudes. I remember hitting that play on that tape, expecting it to suck. And I was like, what the fuck? Now, this is before cell phones where I would have texted them and said, this shit was dope. I had to wait a whole ass week to see them in the club to be like, yo, this track was dope. Your take was dope. And it's probably condescending because I was like, because I expected it to suck. And not prime time. Damn, what's the name of that fucking song? Do they really not have? Okay, anyways. All I know is when they came out, I started to believe in the possibility that one day there's going to be a Drake. Now, I should also add that I remember how I, French hip hop grew. We got into this thing. Here's a fun fact, right? When I'm in Toronto, I book French hip hop. When I'm in Quebec, I bring English hip hop, because I want people to know I'm not from around here. Anyway, yeah. So, you know my favorite rap song? Okay, hold on. I'm going to play tracks that I'm allowed to play. Savoir Faire. Yes. Savoir Faire by DL Incognito. All right. Ah, man. It's one of those lyrics that I write down. And sorry, DL. My favorite verse on Savoir Faire is Mike Check's verse. You better understand. Oh, someone hip hop fan does that. Goes, hold on a second.
Mon gars, tu sais ici, les choses sont pas comme elles sont.
Non, c'est pas comme ça.
On te frappe, tu tombes, tu te relèves. En fait, tu connais la chanson.
Toujours la même chose.
En fait, ici, c'est la galère.
C'est la galère.
Come with the venom through your denim, CD tape desk. You softcore, I'm hardcore. Whips, chains, and latex. My caliber and stamina beyond that of you amateurs.
Okay, fast forward. Fast forward.
Underground sound.
Je donne un savoir-faire clair qui perce à travers. Toute une vision en trois dimensions sur ma vie et mes frères. Relâche la colère, avance avec la rage au visage. Car sous mes paupières se cachent des yeux qui ont vu le pillage. Ressens l'engrenage. Ici la vie n'est pas justifiée. Nos mères ne font que pleurer, c'est les jeunes qui meurent en premier. La haine n'est pas de passage, elle est venue s'incruster. Et se propage sur l'entourage du comme du sang infecté. Les temps ont changé et en même temps les temps ne changent pas. Avant c'était des couteaux, maintenant des revolvers sous le bras. Tu vois ça, la réputation. réputation gagne de l'effet. Plus elle est mauvaise et plus les gars te donnent du respect. Y'a pas de secret.
Oh, oh my god, yeah, man. Sorry. Oh my god, okay, I'm going through, you know what, okay. I wasn't going to say all this shit. I'm just reminiscing of the good old days of hip-hop. Oh, I was at a museum on Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday? Thursday, yeah, Thursday. And there was like by House of Paint, they had like this exhibit, and they were just they're doing another celebration for hip-hop's 50th birthday. But it was really, I think what I love about this exhibit, it was really personal, how it related to us kids in Canada who grew up on TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Like, it was closer. It was like the exhibit just, apart from all the hip-hop you know, you general public, but it focused on the hip-hop we knew, the local talents, the local artists. And, yeah, man, it was a great exhibit, man. What was it called? House of Paint Festival? Was it, what was it called? No, House of Paint. What was the name of the exhibit? It doesn't matter. Whatever, man. All I know is I enjoyed it. That's the problem. That's the point, man. House of Paint presentation, good for you, man. Shout out to all you local talents, DJs, DJ Duckets. was it Blended Dummies? I'm saying name Rotten Old Radio. Yeah, back in the days, I used to have a radio station. Me and my cousin, shout out to my cousin. Can I use your real government name, Evans? Whatever. We had a radio station put together. Yeah, this was our attempt to be .com millionaires. We had an online radio station. Fuck, where the fuck did we find the money for it? We had an online radio station that played Canadian hip-hop and French and English. We put a lot of emphasis on the fact that we were a bilingual station. We put a lot of emphasis that, hey, Toronto's not the fucking capital of Canadian hip-hop. Ottawa is. but we put a lot of emphasis on French hip-hop, especially from Montreal. And I used to love to go to, like, underground shows and see some underground hip-hop shows. And you don't find a talent that I thought, it was decent. I'm like, hey, you got a sample tape? And then tell about my radio station. And they were, like, happy to give you their material, man. Long live hip-hop, man. Bottom line, long live hip-hop. All right. Now, all this to say, the reason I was talking about hating Canadian artists back in the days is because fast forward to now, and shout out to Canadian content creators, especially Canadian content creators who talk about hip hop. And there's one in particular. His name is Dajani. Am I pronouncing that right? Dajani? Well, that's how it's spelled. Dajani, right? And I'll be honest with you, man. It's his take on hip hop that inspired me to make this whole final thoughts about hip hop. Holy shit. I just realized that I went over. I went longer than I was supposed to. Okay. All right. I'm just going to play his take. I can't say it any better, and then end with that, because what he says was just profound, and I can't say it any better, okay? I promise myself I'm just going to play his take, shut the fuck up, and then end the show with that. So here we go, all right? Here we go. Oops. Hold on. Refresh. One more time. All right.
Can't die so long as the culture continues to thrive.
Hey, yo.
So as many of you are aware, hip-hop has turned 50 today. 50. And in celebration, I just wanted to take this time to talk about how much hip-hop has meant to me over the years and what I wish to see for hip-hop moving forward, which is kind of a difficult task for me because there are no words to truly sum up what hip-hop has done for me in my life. It's also kind of hard for me to pinpoint exactly when was it that I fell in love with hip-hop and made hip-hop the love of my life, but one thing I could truly say is that the culture of hip-hop has always been inside of me, and once I tapped into it, it was raps. I mean that literally, because I started writing raps since I was in the sixth grade, which I would say is the first thing that hip-hop gave to me, which was the outlet to express myself. Message. Hip-hop also gave me the voice to be outspoken from a very young age, but that voice meant nothing without the knowledge to back it up, because through hip-hop, I learned more about the world than school ever taught me. But not just knowledge of the world, but also music knowledge. 50% of my music knowledge is because of hip-hop and the art of sampling. Hip-hop gave me the soundtrack to my life. And with all of that, hip-hop had given me this platform. The platform that I use to not only talk about my love for hip-hop, but my love for other things like Star Wars and Power Rangers and cartoons and wrestling and basketball. But above all else, hip-hop gave me my identity. From the way I walk, to the way I talk, to my mannerisms, to my style, my fashion, everything is hip-hop. Of course, with little twists and alterations. Right in up. True hip-hop fashion. Now, some of you watching this can relate to damn near every word that I'm saying, which is a testament to the power that hip-hop has in creating communities, bringing people together under the umbrella of the culture. So with that being said, the biggest thing that I wish for hip-hop for the next 50 years is less arguing and more understanding. Mm. Over in a video that I had the pleasure and privilege to be a part of, DJ Four Corners hit the nail on the head.
I hate the generational divide with hip-hop and old heads being like, oh, this new music sucks, and young kids being like, oh, that old head music sucks. It's like, nah, man, everything has its time, and it's important to understand and know and also just enjoy the music.
Hip-hop has lasted 50 years, and a big reason for that is because of how it's evolved over time. In spite of criticism, in spite of controversy, in spite of tragedy, and in spite of people looking at hip-hop and saying, this isn't gonna last. But in the words of the great Biggie Smalls,
you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far.
And sure, we're allowed to demand better of the culture. We're allowed to demand better of the music, but let's not lose sight of the fact that hip-hop has continued to grow because it's universal. There is not one way to do hip-hop. There's not one way to be hip-hop. So take the time today to appreciate and celebrate the culture that has withstood the test of time. Peace, love, unity. Have fun. Thank you, hip-hop, for everything. Yeah. Happy 50th.
Message.
Oh my God.
Message.
Word up, man. Word up. All right. Okay. I promised I was gonna say anything, so I'm gonna wrap this up. He said that culture and everything like that. You know what, man? He said it all. I feel like I feel a little bothered. I feel like I was given an assignment and I just plagiarized this whole shit I'm giving him credit. I guess it's not plagiarism because I'm telling you what it is. But I feel like I didn't put any effort in expressing my thoughts about hip-hop. But less arguing? Yeah, I guess so. You know, because I guess, you know, shut up. Okay, thank you, Johnny, for saying what I couldn't find the words to say. Thank you, sir. Thank you, content creator. Canadian content creator. Man, he's from Toronto. You know, I thought that dude was from Cali. But okay, we're going to end this show, man. Thank you for listening. this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. You can follow me, you can holler at me via Twitter, as long as Elon Musk doesn't bring it to the ground. You know, insert bad Elon Musk joke about Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast, or on TikTok at B.Black. If you want to keep it classy, keep it old school, holler at me via my website, the website, shutuppodcast.com, shutuppodcast.com. Do I have to spell it for you? shutuppodcast.com. Yeah, I have to think about it. Shut Up Podcast. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Yes, I'm working on increasing the places where you can find this podcast. But for now, go to the website for the RSS feed or Google and Apple Podcasts. Podchase is another place where you can find us. But again, I'm working on it. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Bam, bam. Word. I mean, peace. Peace.
I am your king now.
One last thing. Yeah. That's it. Peace.